to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Along with Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey. And Matt, it's been a while since we've been here. A little bit of a break over Christmas holiday, and due to some COVID protocol activities, we haven't been here live at Pizza Ranch, but it's good to get back here and talk a little Bearcat sports.
Yeah, it is. We wrapped up there, probably mid-December for a little bit of a break, and then, of course, kind of went through some COVID protocols. Both teams had some games postponed on the basketball side, so we also took a little bit of time to kind of step away as well, just to make sure everything was good for everybody. Heck, we dealt with our own sicknesses at the same time, too, through the holiday break, but it's good to be back. It's good to be back here at Pizza Ranch and have another show, so and things are really heating up on the basketball side, and despite it being, it is cold out there. We've got baseball and softball right around the corner too, as well as tennis, so it's the spring sports are kind of on the cusp while we're also getting into the basketball and indoor track and field set of things. So it's a lot of fun right now. It's exciting. We're seeing a lot of big things with our winter sports as well, so it's good to be back.
Yeah, boy, it certainly is. And you mentioned with the weather, it's hard to think that spring sports are right around the corner. Of course, they try to get some games scheduled as early as they can and hope that the weather cooperates. Some years it does, some years it doesn't, and the jury's still out on whether it's going to again or not. But the one thing that they've got going for them now that they didn't have in the past is they use Fieldhouse where they can get some meaningful workouts in, which is something they weren't able to do in the past.
You know, I know for the longest time down there at the basement of Lampkin, you'd have so many different sports working out, whether you're in the off season getting some lifting and some things going on, or you're actually baseball and softball and you're getting ready for upcoming games. But it could be snowing outside. The basement of Lampkin would be full and full of energy, whether it was February, March, or whatever time in the spring it was coming up. The Hughes Fieldhouse really opens things up to where I think you could take a little bit more live BP. You can also go in there, field some balls. The ceiling's not extremely high, but also a chance to catch a few fly balls and kind of things like that, of actually getting a little more depth perception with your baseball and softball side of things. Tennis gets in there a lot and is able to play, so it really is huge to be able to have that opportunity to go in there and play. And you know, we've had a couple days, December, January, that I know baseball and softball have had the chance to step outside and do some things, but again, days like today make it difficult, so it's great to have the Hughes Fieldhouse and be able to jump in there and do whatever needs to be done to make sure that once we get to those games, baseball's 9 days away, softball's 10 days away, they're ready to go.
You know, if you go down go down to the basement of Lampkin, you almost take your life in your own hands. You have to watch out for a baseball flying by, a softball, or maybe somebody running the track around there, I mean, or one of the shot puts. I mean, it was kind of a little risky venture going down there in the past. So
it was an obstacle course, but at the same time, that kind of that's kind of the whole, you know, family vibe of Northwest Missouri State. People didn't know about was you were, you know, taking care of one another. Heads up, watch out. You know?
That's right. That's right. Of course, basketball missed a few days due to COVID protocol, not only on their side, but also some of the teams that they played. But they got back in full fury this past week. A lot of games within a short period of time, I think. On both sides, 4 games within 8 days, and 3 of those games on the road last week. So it was a busy week for them.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, it was a busy week that had ups and downs for both teams. You know, starting out in Topeka, the men come off and they beat Washburn, who's been a thorn in Northwest side. I mean, it's a well-coached team with Coach Ballard. They've got some really good players, Jalen Lewis, Tyler Guyman over there. The Bearcat men go in there and get a nice win in Topeka. The women, you know, it's a Washburn team that's kind of had the Bearcats' number, especially in Topeka, you know, over the last few decades. Really, it's a tough place to play, and so Washburn comes out on top there. But then we roll into Thursday. The women put together a really good game against a solid UCO club, get a nice win, while the men take on Central Oklahoma. And really, that was the biggest game for the Broncos men's team since they entered the MIAA. And credit to them, they came out, played really well. The Bearcats hung around, able to force overtime thanks to some heroics from Trevor Hutchins, just couldn't get it done. And then, you know, both teams able to finish strong there in Newman and get some good wins there in Wichita before coming back home. So I know both teams had to feel exhausted, and Coach McComb told you after the ball game that his team and himself especially, they're just tired. They're looking forward to Sunday, a chance to catch their breath before going in and getting rolling with the scout for Lincoln coming up this Thursday. But they kind of put that week behind them. We're just across the midway point as far as games go within the regular season here, and you know, we're kind of coming down the stretch, like a big push coming up for both teams.
Yeah, and you look on the men's side, good coming up. They have a little bit of a break until Thursday when they face Lincoln, as you mentioned. They've got UCM on Saturday. Then you turn around, they've got a rescheduled game coming up on Tuesday of next week when Missouri Southern comes to town. Missouri Southern had to miss that matchup with Northwest earlier this year because of COVID protocols on the Southern side. So even though you got a little bit of a break this week, you turn around, then the very next week it's going to be another week of busy times for the Bearcat men's basketball team.
You know, you got to try to take it from an optimistic standpoint is this gets us ready for tournament time, where you're playing a lot of games in a short amount of time. You got to turn around quick, get that scout ready, and know your opponent. The upside for Northwest is with that Missouri Southern game, it is going to be here in Maryville. You're not going to be on the road traveling, so that will be tough for Southern, I think, coming up from Joplin there for that Tuesday ball game. But as far as the Bearcats are concerned, you look at it and the way the standings go and in the records, Lincoln, UCM, Southern, those are games bang, bang, bang. You should reel off some wins. At the same time, those are MIAA schools that really have you targeted. Lincoln hasn't won an MIAA game. You know that they're due at some point. Central Missouri's played better. Southern's played better as of late. So those will be three tough games, but hopefully see the Bearcats come out on top.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And also when you look a little bit further down the line the next week too, it's a short trip on that Saturday down to St. Joe to face Missouri Western. So they don't have the long type of trips that they had. Of course, this last weekend, probably their longest trip of the year down to Oklahoma and then to Wichita, so they've got that one out of the way at least. And again, a lot of fun basketball left to be played and a lot of home games coming up, so Bearcat fans will have an opportunity to get up and watch two very good teams play. I mentioned the men with that tough loss in overtime, but you look at both sides right now, they're both playing some pretty darn good basketball right now.
They really are. You have to tip your cap to what Coach Meyer and Coach Houston have done building up that women's program for Northwest Missouri State. Something I know they don't want to talk about, they don't want to look at or address. The women's team is one win away in the regular season from having, at worst, an overall 500 record. They could be 14-14, win one more, and they have assured themselves at least of a 500 record. But the way this team's playing, they have their sights set on so much more, and it feels like the MIAA on the women's side is so wide open. Fort Hays and UNK both went down over the weekend. They lost to Missouri Southern, who Northwest Missouri State beat just a few weeks back, too, as we got January rolling. So the women's side of things, that's wide open. This is a team that could come in, especially the way they play defense, shut you down, hit some big shots, and really make things interesting. So they've got a lot to play for in March. And then, of course, the men's team, year in, year out. They are so good, a team that we're used to seeing in the top 10, playing for national championships. And I think this week could be really special, too, because Trevor Hudgens puts together a solid week. He could become Northwest Missouri State's all-time scoring leader, passing up Justin Pitts. He could be the all-time three-point leader, passing up Zach Schneider as well. So some big numbers to be put up by Trevor, which he's already done, and could really solidify himself as one of the greatest of all time.
Hey, you know, when you look at those two guys, talking about Zach and Justin both, when they put their numbers up, the thought was it's going to be a long time before anybody breaks those marks. And, well, not so long as Trevor Hudgens comes along and is just putting together a heck of a career.
You know, points-wise, Trevor was the first, I believe, to hit the 2,000-point mark. Well, then Ryan Hawkins goes over 2,000 as well, but didn't quite get to Justin's level. But you're kind of sitting there saying, nobody's going to reach that point. Trevor's doing it in 4 years. This isn't the fifth COVID year. He's getting there on that side. Three-point-wise, an MIAA record for a career, you're kind of sitting there thinking, nobody's going to touch that. 370, that's just an astronomically high number. But here he is. He has a chance to push for 400 if the Bearcats keep pushing deep into March like they have, like they're capable of. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch as he continues on. And you know, Diego Bernard's another one, too. He has a chance to be top 10 in points, career points, rebounds, assists, and maybe even a couple other categories too. So the fact that we're just, you have to appreciate what we're seeing every time you go to a Bearcat game, because it is special.
It really is, and it just seems like every year things just get better. I mean, it's amazing through this entire run under Coach Ben McCollum, and well, even prior to that, Coach Steve Todd, Mark had a very good career. I guess some teams have made it to the Elite Eight as well. You look at football, what they've done. It's just right now, if you follow Bearcat athletics, it's just almost bordering on ridiculous, the success that a lot of these programs have had.
It is. You know, the one thing, one of the sports that we really haven't touched on too much yet, that we'll hear about a little bit later on in the show too, tennis is getting ready to get rolling. The only coach in MIAA history with 1,000-plus wins, Mark Rosewell, entering season number 38. The men's team is ranked 16th in the country. The women are receiving votes, and that's another couple teams you expect to make some noise as we head throughout the spring.
And track and field, they're off to a good start with the indoor season. They hosted the Northwest Open this past weekend. A lot of good performances out of them.
Yeah, you're seeing folks put up some good numbers. Caroline Cunningham, Amber Owens, both in the long distance side had a fantastic weekend. Blake Morgan, just the second ever high jumper to hit that 7-foot mark in Northwest history, joining Kevin Schultz. Prince Griffin winning the 200. So Coach Masters has himself some really talented athletes. Heba Magoob came back and received her national championship ring over the weekend. And you have to know that that just adds a little fire to some of these younger athletes saying, let's go get our own. And so I think we could see some special things with the indoor and outdoor track and field season when it rolls around.
Oh, no doubt about that. And, again, indoor season right now, outdoor season around the corner is a lot sooner than the people think, too. It seems like the weeks they just fly by right now, don't they?
You know, you look out the window, it's a nice sunny day.
that part might be right.
When you walk out the door, it's a little different, but it looks great right now.
All right. Again, we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot more coming up on the show here from Pizza Ranch, so stick around. We'll be back and have more for you right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering a walk-in clinic weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 8 a.m. to noon each Saturday. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. More information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
And we're back at Pizza Ranch here in Maryville for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, being joined now by Northwest Missouri State head track and field coach Brandon Masters, also a sophomore Blake Morgan from the team, a high jumper from Kirksville, Missouri. Guys, appreciate coming on. It's great to see you just coming off of the Northwest Open over the weekend. And Coach Masters, we'll start with you. We're kind of getting right back into it. We saw a meet back in December. We jumped in with the Washburn Rust Buster. You took some athletes to Topeka about a couple weeks ago, week and a half ago at this point, but diving back in, another home meet for this team. What'd you like? It looked like there were some big-time numbers put up for Northwest.
You know what I liked most is you never know how the kids do over the break. We let them go home for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, and, you know, weather is not really conducive to great training and speed and power outside at home where we don't have Hughes Fieldhouse, you know. So Northwest Open was important to see where we're at. And, you know, 700-plus athletes at this meet, solid meet. We had some great performances. So, you know, my anxiety levels went way down knowing our kids worked hard. They did a good job, you know. So we did have some personal bests. We had, you know, some provisional qualifiers. We had some wins and a lot of personal bests, which this time of year, you know, that's a rare thing. So very exciting meet this past weekend.
Does that bode well, especially getting PRs at home whenever you're going to turn around and have the MIAAs come here, that obviously you're comfortable on your home track and now you've got everybody coming to you for the conference meet?
Right. I think that's a big part about having that home court advantage, if you will. You know, our track is, you know, we train on it every day. We know everything about it. So, you go to the old adage, it's hard to slay a dragon in its own backyard. That's what kind of mentality we have. The first time we hosted here a few years ago, and now this year, I know Blake is going to be very comfortable on the apron for the high jump, knowing he just hit, you know, his personal best in a big bar, first time over 7 feet is a big deal, and now we own that bar, so he feels comfortable. We'll go back and get it again.
And just the second Bearcat ever in indoor track and field to go over and hit that 7-foot mark. Blake, how special is that for you of knowing that it's yourself, Kevin Schultz, and then everybody else below you after hitting that?
Yeah, it's super special. I mean, Kevin was the guy who kind of brought me into Northwest. He kind of first taught me about high jump. And he, when he saw me jump for the first time, he's like, yeah, I think you can be a 7-foot jumper. And I remember him telling me, like, that 7-foot is, like, the elite level of high jump. And just to be able to finally kind of put that behind me and say, yeah, I did that, it's really, really, really fun.
I think if you look at it and folks know, it's obviously that's a huge mark to sit, mm-hmm. set. But at the same time, it didn't come easy. As you're going through that meet, your first two jumps at 6'10", yeah. don't exactly go well.
Right.
At that point, is it survival instincts? It's not about hitting 7-foot. It's, I got to get over to keep rolling in this this particular competition.
Especially at that bar, like, I don't want to say that I was, like, too relaxed at that bar, but I was comfortable for sure, just because I've hit it before in the past. So I didn't really have as much energy, like, going into the bar as I needed to get over it. And that third attempt, I'm like, okay, this is do or die. It's time to go. Let's get some energy going, get the place loud. And I think that was probably my best jump of the day was that third attempt at 6:10.
You're just a sophomore. Obviously, you've got plenty of more time at Northwest Missouri State to hit 7 foot a few more times and keep on going up above that. What's the ceiling right now? I mean, coming in as a freshman, you were thinking, I'll hit 7 foot at some point. Did you know it was coming now?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm shaking my head.
Yeah.
Blake's been over 7 feet in, you know, kind of practice meets and things like that. We do a turkey time trial. It's a lot of fun. And so he's seen the bar. He knows he can hit it.
Yeah.
You know, quite honestly, we thought we'd have it by now in a meet.
I really thought I was going to hit it last year at some point in time. But
but it's over now. We got it.
Right.
So we can move on to that next bar, which is, of course,
219.
That's right. And why is it 219?
Because that would be a school record.
That's right.
School record.
Kevin Schultz, here we come, right?
Yep, exactly right.
And I feel like that's one, too. Kevin would say, go get it. He's embracing wanting to see you go out and break his record.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So Coach mentioned this is a big one because we're getting back in and you're coming off of that Christmas break and kids go home and are you working out? Are you not? Are you just eating? What are you doing? Now, I will say you live in a tropical environment in Kirksville, Missouri. What are you doing over Christmas? What are you doing to keep yourself ready for this?
A lot of it was just lifting. As a high jumper, like, I don't really need to run as much as everybody else does. I did a few times over break just to kind of keep that aerobic capacity. That way the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th jumps, I don't get tired. But a lot of it was just lifting, maintaining strength. That was pretty much all my summer was, too, was just getting in the weight room, getting stronger. And I got back, and I remember telling Coach, like, hey, I'm not in great shape, but I am strong right now. And I think that was just the biggest thing has made those higher bars come a little bit easier this year.
When he comes back and he says, I'm not in great shape, but I'm strong, is that, like, I can work with that. That's what we want.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we do. And when we send the kids home for summer break, you know, we definitely sit down and talk about, okay, what are our needs? What are our deficiencies? Blake doesn't have to be an aerobic monster, right? Now, our first 6 weeks challenge him a little bit because I put everybody together. With him, it was all about strength. It's all about generation of power. And I know Blake's not going to come in at, 20 or 30 pounds heavier lifting all summer. And he came in extremely strong, and I knew it was going to be a big year just because of that.
Blake, can I ask you a hard question, put you on the spot?
Yeah, go
you
for can. It.
You don't have to answer if you don't want. You hit 219 this year? Can it happen during 2022?
I hope so. I think so. With the jumps that I've had at 6:10, just the clearance that I had, it's definitely like in the realm of possibilities. It's just got to be the right timing at the right bar.
That's the problem with a bar event, right? We have these big jumps. His clearance on 2:08 was mind-blowing. I mean, he finally put it down. It was a massive jump. And we've seen big bars from him. You know, it's just having that bar with the right jump. And sometimes you just got to see the bar. Now we've seen it a couple of times. 214 is now in a bar event, you know, going back to the old pole vault days, you know, once you clear a bar, you're like, yeah, I got this. You know, so it changes the mindset of a bar.
Right.
And 7 feet is a big one. Remember, Kevin never hit 7 feet until, you know, I got here his senior year. And then he hit it some crazy, 17 times or something crazy that year. Like every time. So once you get that bar, you can make it, and then it's on to the next one. It's seeing it up there and being able to actually do your approach, see the bar, take it up, and the timing differences, you got to allow yourself to rise. And I think that's what he's done a really good job, and he followed in Kevin's footsteps in that. We have to segment the jump. You got to wait. You got to get your body up there and wait before you finish the jump. And I think that's what he's done a lot, and that's what allowed him to clear 214, but that's also going to be that next step and allow him to clear the next bars.
I think that is kind of crazy, too, to think about the technique, the mindset, everything going into it, because if you just go at it too hard, you're going to take out the ball every time. It's getting yourself over the top.
Well, also realize that this man's 6 feet tall. So, you know, I tell him he's 5'11", but he's – Coach, I'm 6 feet.
I'm 6 feet.
Yeah. So at 6 feet, and you got to try to rise to, you know, 7'1", you know, and you got to wait. You got to be patient. And that's where he's starting to learn that now. And when he gets – the pop we need off the ground, gets a proper timing segmentation of the jump. His bar skills are very, very good. It's a matter of getting up there and being patient to rise.
I was going to say 5'11 and a quarter, but yeah, somewhere in between.
His hair's not spiked up today, so maybe he's under 6 feet.
So the mental block of, all right, I've cleared it once, now I can keep doing it over and over and over. Not exactly the same thing. But on Saturday, Heba Magoob receives her national championship ring, and it's there in front of the team, the crowd, and it's a special moment. You saw the picture with the smile on her face, ear to ear. Is that kind of the same thing of, all right, we've got one, and everybody getting ready for to compete is kind of like, Heba just got her ring. I want that ceremony. I want to be there.
Yeah, and we have the ability to do that. You know, obviously, Heba was the first time Northwest had a national champion on the track on the women's side, and there was a big accomplishment. But Heba, her last 2 years, very similar. Blake has bought in from the beginning, you know, and I think that's what allows him to excel. He's a student of the game. He understands the high jump. I mean, he hits the mat, the bar falls. We look at each other. We already know what we need to do. We'll look at the video and confirm, but he knows it before he hits the mat. Oh, Coach, I did this, whatever. So, you know, he's all bought in, ready to go. Seeing Heba get that ring and accomplish what she did, her last 2 years she bought in wholly and fully into the program, and she was not going to be denied. And I think that's that kind of mindset we see in a lot of other guys, including Blake, other men and women on this team. So ideally that's that's a nice ceremony to have, but there's only one given out. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a few more? So that is the goal, is to continue to have a few more national champions in the next few years. And they're hard to get, but be nice to hand out a few of them each time we do this.
Out of that collection a little bit more.
Right.
So a lot of different running events step up, do well. We see PRs there. The 200 on the men's side, top two spots being taken by Bearcats. Are you kind of looking at that saying, I expect that trend to continue and keep getting stronger?
Yeah, you know, the 200 is a big event for us on the men's side. You know, had those guys open up, and the 200, really the first time, especially one of our guys never really ran on a 300. You know, we had to sprint for, you know, 50 meters and then turn left versus outdoor where we're starting on the curve. That's a different race. So I told him just to, you know, feel it out. You don't have to go fast. Just be smooth, efficient, and then he runs 22.0. So, I mean, that's pretty dang good. Prince, you know, 22.08, 22.09 for those two gentlemen, and both are, you know, 21A guys when they probably let it rip or faster. Cool thing is we got two guys that haven't run it yet. And actually, three guys that haven't ran the 200 yet. And I don't know, five of them could be in the 21. So we're a really solid men's 200 squad, and we're really excited to see one more open up this weekend, and then we'll kind of let them fly in the Bearcat and see how fast we can run.
That's some fun competition to have within your own team of pretty solid there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch them compete and practice every day.
Some women also fantastic in the long distance. The 5,000 there for Amber, the 1 mile for Caroline, and they just keep chopping wood like we've seen.
Yeah, they're fantastic. You know, upperclassmen, I mean, we don't have many upperclassmen on the team. We're so young. But, you know, they're both juniors, leaders for us, fantastic distance ladies. Caroline's, if you look at the list on the conference, she's up the list on three different ones, I think. Three in the top five, something like that, and she's just a beast. You know, I say that, but she's a little bit of nothing, right? She's tiny, but she just has that killer instinct and mindset, and she just competes. And Amber, you know, fantastic to see her compete and be, you know, ferocious because she's so timid of a personality. But boy, she just wanted the win, and she went for it and had a big PR for herself this past weekend.
Well, fantastic meet for the Bearcats in the Northwest Open last weekend, the Jayhawk Classic coming up in Lawrence, Kansas this weekend. Coach Masters, Blake, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Blake Morgan, a sophomore for Northwest Missouri State Indoor Track and Field, and Brandon Masters, the head coach, joining us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a timeout and be back with more from Pizza Ranch.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville at 125 East South Avenue. Rogers provides patients and their families with medical supplies, including oxygen, CPAP, scooters, and home medical equipment. More online at RogersRx.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KLRNW, live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. We're talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball, being joined by head coach Austin Meyer, as well as forward for his basketball team, Jana Green. The Bearcats 13-5 on the season, 8-4 in the MIAA, coming off a couple wins over the weekend over Central Oklahoma and Newman. Jana, to start things off, had to be nice getting that longest road trip out of the way, also picking up a pair of W's at the same time.
Oh, definitely. A long road trip, but we keep ourselves entertained. Always laughs on the bus, always something to do. That was the second time that I've been on that road trip because I went my freshman year, but we went to UCO last, so that was a longer ride home. So it was kind of nice to come from Wichita home instead of Edmond.
I bet, too. And Coach Meyer, you've had some good games over UCO since you took over Northwest Missouri State women's basketball, but especially that last time that we were in Edmond, it was wins over UCO and Newman, and that was the first road sweep for the Bearcats in quite some time. So that was a big moment too. I bet you kind of liked that road trip.
Yeah, we've had success there. You know, it's a tough place to play. Obviously, they were 7-0. UCO was at home, and we've played well against them. It's all about matchups, and I think we match up well with them. Obviously Kelsey Johnson's really, really good. And I talked about how we guarded her, thought we guarded her pretty well, especially the first half. And it's hard to say that when somebody scores 30, but we did make it pretty tough on her for the most part.
She got plenty of attempts at the same time to reach that 30-point mark. So it bounces out in the end. You've seen so many different styles of basketball come at you throughout this season. It even took on a different form against Newman, where they want to take at least 15 seconds off the shot clock before going through and running an offense at all. Do you kind of like the fact that you've seen bullets from all these different styles, and here you are at 13-5?
Yeah, I think it's good because you're gonna see a lot of teams, and hopefully we can get into the postseason and play deep into it, and you're gonna get different styles every time you go out. But yeah, UCO was a high pressure, get in lanes, press you. Go for steals, and then Newman was sit five people in the lane and force you to shoot jump shots. And Mac would call it the no defense defense, where we got good shots, we got open shots. We struggled to shoot it, but we had some defensive breakdowns. But yeah, no, we said at halftime, I remember our first year or two when we would walk the ball up and we had to minimize possessions, and we said, hey, teams are doing that to us now, so that's a good thing.
Jana, we're just across the midway point in this season as far as games in the regular season go at this point, 18 in. How do you feel physically, and how does the team view this mentally of this is kind of where you wanted to be, of competing for that upper echelon of the MIAA?
I think overall we're feeling pretty good, like in shape, and we feel healthy, and everyone's like staying together and stuff. And I think that win at Newman was like the most conference wins since whatever,
2012, yeah. 13, yeah.
So like to be at the halfway point and already at that like landmark is really big, and I think it's big for our confidence too.
So you've gone through some tough times your first couple seasons as well. Last year, 7-15 through conference play, 6-13 the year before that. But this is kind of why you come to Northwest, right? Is that kind of what Coach Meyer and Coach Houston said during the recruiting of you're going to be part of this turnaround?
Yeah, and I think, like, I mean, anyone can go to a good program and, like just walk in and be like, oh, like, they're good, like, it's having fun. But, like, being able to, like, make your mark and, like, be a part of something that, like historically, like, hasn't been amazing, but being able to turn that around, I think, is really exciting.
What is the discussion like with your players like yourself that have been here for a little while and some first years that kind of walk in, like, of course we're 13-5. This is what we're used to, right? Like,
yeah.
Is there a discussion of, like, hey, we had to put in the time and there's a lot left to go?
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, we have to put in the time, and everyone's buying in and putting in the time. Like, even the freshmen who don't know any different, like, I mean, everyone's just bought in so well. And even if we have been here for 3 years, like, we know what it takes, and that we just, like, can't have a drop-off in that, like, department.
I know that the talk for the first few years was that the trust the process, keep pushing, get us to this point. Is it easy to trust that process, Coach? I mean, how do you have some moments where it's like, man, this is hard, like, of building that back up and getting here?
Yeah, it's been really tough. And, you know, Jana was one that, you know, we recruit out of high school. And, you know, when you recruit kids, they know what your record is. They look at the last, you know, 3-4 years, and we didn't hide it. Here's how where the program's been. Here's where we want to try to get it to. And, yeah, we tried to sell the kids on come here, be the group that gets this thing turned around and going. So, there's been a lot of challenges, and then to get it to where we were going into last year three, which we felt like we were at a really good point, then to have the adversity, the injuries and all that. So, yeah, it's been a lot of work, and there's still a lot of work left to do, but it has been fun, even though we're so process-oriented and next play, next day, you know, just one day at a time. It is nice to see those results, and like she said, you know, being able to check a box, you know, most conference wins in 8-9 years, whatever it is. I think those things are good.
So dial it back about 3 or 4 years to you take over the program and you go out to Omaha to recruit Janet Green. And as we look at her stats, top 10 in school history there at Millard North in rebounds, offensive rebounds, assists, blocks, filling up a stat sheet. Is this what you expected, kind of what we're seeing out of Jana this year, of this is why we recruited her?
Oh, yeah, definitely. She can do a lot of different things. Obviously, a great defender, rebounds it. She shot the ball well the last few games and makes plays, you know, hands out assists, gets steals. So, yeah, you look down, there's a lot of games where it's, you know, 7-6, 5-6, and she's a stat sheet stuffer, as they say, and she just wants to win, and so she does what it takes. She's not one of those she can come out and score, or she's one of those that she'll be happy if she doesn't score and the team wins, and she plays great defense, rebounds, whatever it is. So she just kind of does whatever we need.
So we talk a lot about the rebounds and the blocks and the stuff that comes with that, Jana. Also a defender, as Coach Meyer says, I think can be a little bit frustrating at times. Against UCO, we saw Knapp for them pick up a technical foul pretty late in that basketball game, and she was a little bit upset with your teammate Emma Atwood. But I feel like, despite getting in foul trouble, that kind of goes back to you a little bit of frustrating her in the first half as well. Do you kind of feel that at times when you're kind of grinding the gears of an opponent of they can't get touches or their shots, there's always a hand in their face, and that kind of just wears them throughout a game?
Yeah, I love to take credit for that. but Emma did a force to travel in the turnover, so Emma, she deserves that little girl talking in her ear. But, yeah, I think so, and, like, it's so much of a mental game. Like, even if, like, don't open your mouth and, like, make somebody work. Like, no one really wants to work that hard to score, especially, like, players like that who normally it comes easy to. So, like, even if they miss their first shot, okay, well, they're going to try again. Well, like, get a hand on their face, like, push them around, like, see if they can handle it, and then kind of get in their head a little bit without, like, opening your mouth.
Yeah, don't get yourself the technical matter either. When you look at the MIAA and for as dog-eat-dog and wide-open as it is, I mean, 10 games left, you have to feel pretty good about where you're sitting right now. We've got a lot of teams ahead of us that we can go and knock off and keep climbing.
Yeah, I mean, like, halfway point through the season, so everyone we've played almost at, well, I think the only team we haven't played is Emporia, right, because that was rescheduled. But now everyone, like, kind of knows what's up, and teams who we beat are coming back to beat us, and we know that we have to be better the next time we play them too. So, yeah, it's fun, and being in here for, like, the third year, you kind of get more comfortable and you know everybody. So it's a little bit of that, like, friendly competition, yeah. Friendly, non-friendly competition.
Well, Coach Meyer, Lincoln coming in on Thursday. Again, a team that's not near the top of the standings, but they come out, they play hard. They've got a new second-year head coach, and this is one you expect to dogfight in, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about every team. You know, we can beat anybody in this league, and anybody can beat us. You know, we saw it, I think, in the Newman game on Saturday. You know, we struggled, taking shots away from their best shooter. We let her get three shots off, which in our defense is a no-no against somebody that shoots it that well. And, you know, we're up 15 in that game, and if we take away that shot, you know, we probably go on a run and maybe go up 20-25. Instead, they get back in the game, they get confidence, and they bank one in. All of a sudden, you look down, it's a one-point game. So, you know, the teams are going to fight. You know, Lincoln and Newman was a close game. Lincoln's played teams close. So we just got to play. You know, defensively, we got to be better. We haven't been as good as we were early the last probably week and a half or so. So hopefully we took a little bit of time off, and we'll get back after today that hopefully we can get back to defending how we were early on the season.
Northwest, a pair of home games coming up. Lincoln on Thursday, Central Missouri on Saturday. Coach Meyer, Jana, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Jana Green, Northwest Missouri State sophomore, and head coach Austin Meyer joining us on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a break. Back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry in Maryville. Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, contacts, and sunglasses. Dr. Losh is also available after hours for emergencies. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats on radio comes from King City Lumber. Their post frame and all steel buildings can be used as homes, barns, sheds, garages, or commercial buildings. More information about planning, design, and construction is at kingcitylumber.com.
Support comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch this afternoon. Joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McComb. Ben, it's been a little while since we had a chance to talk to you here at Pizza Ranch. Kind of nice to get back into a little bit of a routine.
Yeah, it's just good to be home. Obviously, we've been on the road for quite a few games, and it's good to hopefully get back to practice and have a good couple days of practice to where we can redevelop some of our good habits.
Just talk a little bit about going into this stretch where you had so many games within a short period of time, that coming up after a break due to COVID issues, not only for Northwest but with some other teams as well. How tough was it to get back into gear when you had so many games within a short period of time and not having an opportunity to practice too much leading into that?
Yeah, it makes it tough. I mean, it's just hard to find your rhythm because you're just really, you know, just treading water, just trying to keep your head afloat That's what we've done, and our kids are tough enough to do that. And you know, again, no one really feels bad for you, so you just have to fight through it. But now hopefully we can start to reestablish our rhythm offensively and then defensively, really redevelop some of those good habits that we've had throughout the year. You know, headed into the Lincoln game.
I would think, too, a part of the issue there, too, you look at four games in 8 days, and three of those games on the road were a chance you were just kind of, even though you have an opportunity to be together on the road and things, it's still you're away from your normal habits and things you have at home, where that made it a little bit tough as well.
Yeah, and they're long road trips. You know, the trip to Fort Hayes, obviously a long one, and then the other long trip. So, yeah, no, it's in Washburn. So it's five games and then four out of five on the road. So it was a lot, but just it is what it is, and you just got to play through it and be tough enough.
Just talk about some of those games in particular. The game in Topeka with Washburn, always a tough place to play. You were able to go in there and get done what you wanted to do to come up with a win in that matchup.
Yeah, I thought we were able to control the game offensively in particular and just kind of keep the game in our favor. I think when they get out and get going in transition, they're really difficult to play against. And We had to make sure that they weren't allowed to do that, and you know, tried to dictate it with our offense and really just, again, survive it and try to get the win.
And going into that, too, I think Washburn probably was playing as good a basketball as anybody in the conference going into that matchup.
Yeah, they were playing great, and they're still playing great. I know they beat Emporia the other night, and they've got a big week ahead of them. What is that? Probably tomorrow night or Thursday night. So, yeah, no, they're a good team. They obviously, it's a good matchup for them. Us is, you know, we are, and it's good to be able to win there.
And then a trip down to Edmond, Oklahoma, following that tough overtime loss to UCO. But a game where you fell behind early by 14, fought your way back in, and had an opportunity in overtime.
Yeah, you know, I just didn't think we came out overly well. Just, again, that's probably the practice time things. And once we settled in and just played us, then I thought we were much better. But, yeah, just made too many mistakes down the stretch, and I felt like we could have won the game otherwise.
Yeah, one of the things that kind of looked as well going into that game, number one in the nation in free throw shooting percentage, and missed some key free throws in that matchup.
Yeah, no, we did. You know, just a lot of mistakes and, you know, things that don't normally happen to us. But we'll get better from it and just continue to grow and get better.
And after that, up to Wichita, Newman the opponent, and able to take care of business there pretty well.
Yep, no doubt. We played well and got back to us, I think, offensively, a little better rhythm, and then defensively really, really felt like we executed and guarded well.
Hey, you look at a Newman team, and then also coming up a Lincoln this week. A couple teams that have struggled with wins and losses, but you look at the rosters, some pretty good athletes on both of those teams, and now again Lincoln coming up on Thursday. Are you a little surprised to see where they're at right now record-wise when we've seen them once already this year and the type of talent they have on that roster?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to watch some more of their games. I mean, I thought they've kept a lot of games close, kind of similar to Newman, where they just kind of they're close in every game, but they just don't quite win it. So they're always a dangerous team, and we need to make sure that we prepare for them as though they're you know, undefeated, essentially.
What do you do to tell a team, your team, and when you go up against a team that has struggled a little bit record-wise, to make sure that they're up for that game?
You know, we say so process focused anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It's we just focus on the next day, so that helps us, you know, get ready for the Lincoln, you know, the Lincoln game and even the Newman game, and making sure that we're focused and ready to go for those.
And then after Lincoln, Central Missouri coming up second time around with the Mules, this time at Bearcat Arena.
Yeah, I think they're a dangerous team. You know, defensively they're very connected, and then offensively they just kind of score enough to keep you honest. So, again, just like every game in this league, we'll have our hands full, and we need to make sure that we're at our best by Friday or Thursday, and then obviously by Saturday.
And then again, looking a little bit ahead, then next week, first time you'll see Missouri Southern this year. So beginning to see some teams second time around with the Lincoln and Central games this week, but still looking to face a Missouri Southern team that missed earlier this year due to some COVID issues. So, well, what's strike you about Missouri Southern right now with the way the season's turning out?
I don't know. I haven't watched them. I mean, I've seen them a couple times against teams. I know they had some COVID stuff that they dealt with, and so they're probably a shell of themselves right now, but I'm sure they'll be good, and again, we'll have to be ready to go for that one as well.
Boy, it seems like this is kind of another typical year when you look at the MIAA standings, where just a lot of talent just mixed up and down throughout this conference. It just seems like year in and year out, this is one of the top conferences in Division II.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It always has been. I think this year there's a lot of talent. You know, I think the NSIC's got a really good year this year, and it's our region. It's the best in the country, and you know, hopefully they break up our region here shortly.
What's the talk on that? Is there anything down the line where that might happen?
No idea. I mean, it should. I mean, it's pretty evident that it's one of the best, if not the best. I'm positive it's the best. So this is what it is. You know, eventually you're going to have to play those teams anyway, so you might as well just do it right away.
What makes this region so much better than the other regions? I know there's a lot of good coaches throughout the region, and also traditionally a lot of good basketball teams throughout, but what typically brings some of the top players in the nation into this central region?
Yeah, I think they're true colleges, so they're, you know, 7,000 to 10,000 school, you know, attendance wise, and it's got the true campus vibe to it, where a lot of your East Coast and West Coast Division II schools aren't true college campuses. They're, you know, 500 to 1,000 kids and just a little different style. So we're able to recruit a little bit better player. And then, I think the coaching is fantastic in both leagues as well.
Also, too, when you look at a lot of the players on the rosters, a lot of guys could go Division I, I think, if they wanted to, but have elected to play at Division II.
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't get recruited to Division I, and so you just got to out-evaluate, and I think a lot of our coaches do a good job of doing that.
Look at Northwest. Trevor Hudgens putting together a heck of a season, and this upcoming week, if things go well for Trevor, he could be at the top of the scoring list for Northwest. And it seems like every time somebody gets to that top, you think, well, it's going to be a while before anybody reaches that. Of course, Justin there right now, but Trevor coming right behind, a chance to take over that mark.
Yeah, no, he's had an impressive career, and obviously the two national championships and possibly should have been a third one had COVID not hit. It's pretty impressive. And then the year that they're putting together this year is pretty special.
What are some of the things that really strike you about this year's team that you have that you really like so far?
Mentally tough. We've had a lot of things go against us, and they've just kept coming back and kept fighting. And, we got a lot of guys with experience, but then you also have a lot of guys playing that don't have a lot of experience that are expected to essentially be perfect, and that's hard. So showing a lot of mental toughness and a lot of togetherness, but need to continue it down the stretch here.
It seems like you've got some guys right now that are really looking more and more comfortable on the floor. One in particular stands out, Daniel Bray, you here in the last 2 to 3 weeks really has come up, it looks like.
He's a good player. It's just a matter of making sure that he's consistently in rhythm, understanding the offense, and then just ready to go. I think some games it's difficult for those guys to get themselves to that elite level, and he's getting there, and he gets better and better every game.
Isaiah Jackson is a guy that if you just follow box scores may not impress you, but boy, he does a lot of little things out there on the floor that really stand out that helps his team win.
Yeah, elite defender. He did a great job against Guyman. He's got to keep, just like the rest of them, he's got to make sure that he's ready every single game, otherwise we're not going to be playing very long.
And another special guy, Diego Bernard, he's been an awful lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Diego's Diego. He's a winner, and that's what he does, is he wins, and that's it. Obviously there's he can shoot and dribble and make plays and pass and all that stuff and defend, but most importantly, he wants to win, and that's what makes him special.
As you look at the next month or so coming up on this schedule, what are the steps you want to see this team make getting ready for the end of the regular season and then, of course, the conference tournament, and what's on after that?
Yeah, just get a better rhythm offensively and then reestablish our habits defensively. Practice will help with that this couple days, and hopefully we'll get a lot better at those things and carry them into the postseason, the conference tournament.
Well, imagine pretty good to have a few days where you don't have to worry about basketball until Thursday coming up.
Right? Yeah, no doubt. Just got to get better. Just got to get into practice and get better and move the basketball and be us.
All right. Well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up on the Coach's Show right after this timeout.
Support comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information is available on location or online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or facebook.com/pittsbodyshop.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell on South Main in Maryville, celebrating 30 years of service. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community for more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The design centers open Monday through Saturday and online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Hello.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch, and we turn our attention to spring sport coming up now. Northwest Missouri State men's tennis and women's tennis. It's a little bit less than a month when you take to the court against William Jewell to start off the spring season, and the head coach of the Bearcat tennis teams, Mark Rosewell, is with us. And, Mark, good to have you with us here on the show.
Good to be here, John. Yeah. I like that beard.
It's coming off pretty quick.
Okay.
Your tennis team on the men's side, 16th in the ITA Top 25 poll that came out this week. What's that tell you, being ranked number 16 coming into this year?
Well, I think most, you know, those preseason rankings, they comes off your last spring, kind of where you finished there. And we're one in the region and then, like I said, 16th in the country, but – yeah, we'll take it. That's a good way. It could get us fired up and, you know, get feeling good about what we're doing and so forth. So, yeah, very nice.
Now, on your women's side, received some votes, but not in the top 25 right now. But I know you're very high on what you've got coming back on the women's side here.
Yeah, John, we finished 30th in the country last year, last spring. So we got votes. We're close. Of course, you've got to beat somebody to get there and so forth. But we got a really good nucleus from last year's team that advanced to the NCAA regional tournament and so forth. And then we've brought actually four new ladies in between the fall and the spring. And so our depth this year is as good as it's ever been for quite some time. We've got actually 10 players on the team, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, I know last year talking with you, you really liked the talent you had on the women's side, but depth, I think, was something that you were looking to add on to quite a bit.
Yeah, we were playing with seven last year, and, you know, in tennis, six play, so somebody gets hurt or something, and, you know, pretty soon you're forfeiting matches and so forth if you don't have enough or whatever. But I always like to have about eight to 10, somewhere in that range, you know, but 10's a good number.
Now, you're coming off a fall season where you had a lot of success as well on the men's and women's side, both with the ITA tournaments that you're involved with during the fall, which is a lot different type of competition than the team competition that comes up here in the spring. What were some of the things you were able to build off of from last fall that you hope to carry over into the spring here?
Well, the great thing about the fall is it's all individual, you know, but you get to see all the teams, particularly with the ITA and some of the tournaments we play in and so forth. So you get to kind of scout out your competition to see basically what they've got and what you need to continue to be successful and so forth. So with that being said, you know, I think we've really helped ourselves in the spring.
And when you finish up the fall portion of the season, I know when you'll go walk by the tennis courts when the weather's still nice, late fall, early winter, a lot of your players, both on the men's and women's sides, are out there hitting and just enjoying being together and trying to work on things to get ready for the spring. So I imagine that makes you feel good, even though it's not officially part of the tennis season, you see those players out there working hard.
Oh, for sure, John. And you know as well as I do, the lights are the best thing we've ever done. Those are really quality lights and so forth. And they do. The kids can come back kind of on their own schedules, practice extra, just like we're doing right now. Now, we're in Hughes, you know, early in the morning. You'll see us over there, you know, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Then we'll be back. Now, these are different athletes and so forth with only two courts, but we'll be back, you know, from 6:30 to 9 in the evening hitting. But they've got a place to go and practice. And in tennis, much like any other sports, it's all about repetition. You've got to practice to be good.
And, again, that's something that you haven't had until the last couple of years with the Hughes Fieldhouse. I know you had a couple of courts laid out there inside Bearcat Arena, but it wasn't an ideal situation there. And, again, still you're sharing the space with a lot of other sports even now. But how much better is it right now having the opportunity to get the players inside at Hughes?
Oh, it's just day and night, John, because, you know, Lampkin was, you know, how heavily that was used. There was always somebody in there, and the lighting was not good, particularly on the ends where we practiced. And then, of course, there was always danger of running in the wall or the bleachers or whatever. Where Hughes, there's just plenty of room. The lighting is great. You know, we have used to go in there to practice it a lot of times and so forth. I mean, it's just been fantastic for our program.
Now, you got the season going here on February 18th. Travel down to Kansas City. You've got William Jewell coming up to start things. And I would guess, too, one of the advantages tennis has over to maybe some of the spring sports like baseball and softball, where you really are dependent on what's going on outside, an opportunity to get to some indoor courts early in the season to get some matches in. So that's one bright spot that you have for tennis in the spring.
Yeah, you know, all those matches in February will probably be indoors. Every once in a while we might get lucky on the weather, even in the early March. So we're playing places where we can get indoors, and that's usually where we're going to play the match, whether that be in Liberty at Clayview or Springfield at Cooper, if we're going up to Red Oak or St. Joe, wherever we're going. But you got to be smart as far as, you know, playing and getting the courts and being able, and then, you know, hopefully then we're going to get outside.
Yeah, you talk about getting outside in the early, too, and you take a few southern trips, that guarantees you an opportunity to get outside.
It does. Spring trip, we'll go down to Arkansas, and, I mean, southern Arkansas, that's a long ways from Maryville now, and the weather would be way better. And Wachita's got indoor courts on their campus that we'll schedule a couple matches there, knowing that we go that far, we can get the matches in, which is what we're after.
What are you looking for with your teams in these early matches right now?
On the women's, you know, with, you know, three new players that just came in a couple weeks ago, I don't know that much about them, and we're trying to figure out where they belong in the lineup or if they belong in the lineup, and, of course, with the other ones. Our men are pretty well set. We had one addition for January, but, you know, we pretty much know where we are on there. And then, of course, just figuring out who the doubles teams are.
And that's very important, too. Those doubles points really make a huge difference.
It does, and it's not as much as it used to be, but still, that's that one big point that if you can get that, a lot of times you can win the match 4-3, and if you lose it, you can lose 4-3, you know, if you split the singles and whatever, so very important, yes.
And on the men's side, looking for a lot, as you mentioned, you've got quite a bit coming up, or coming back with that team to where it really it looks like you're as strong as you've been on the men's side for a long time.
Boy, on paper, John, it looks pretty good. I mean, we're actually returning three All-Americans, two in singles and one in doubles, and then also Vera was an All-American on the women's side. So that's four All-Americans between both teams. That's, we've never been that good before.
And, again, a lot of matches on the road early, too. But as far as opportunity for the fans to come out on the at the Mark Rosewell Tennis Center and watch this team, when's the first opportunity coming around for that?
It'll be a couple more in the middle of March. I don't even know who we're playing yet or whatever. But, yeah, it's we've been getting some fans coming out there and watching, and it's always nice. You know, tennis matches last a long time. We've tried to shorten those up a little bit with the Pro 8s and all, or Pro 6s, I guess, now in the doubles. But it makes a difference when people are watching. But we like our location right there in the middle of campus and so forth, and people going by and the cafeteria, the union and all that. Many will stop and watch.
It's a lot of fun to watch those two teams. And what's fun, too, is just to see how close-knit both your men's and women's teams are. When the women are on the courts, the men are there cheering them on and vice versa there. It's just a close group and a fun group to be around.
It is, John. And, you know, everybody talks about family, this and that. But we've been doing this for many, many years and supporting each other and so forth. And you know, that's really important. I tell you something else. In the morning there when we're hitting at Hughes, you know, a lot of the community is walking over there, and they're actually watching some of those practices firsthand. And I think many have not been to a tennis match before, and I see their looks on their face, and like, hey, man, we got a pretty good tennis team here at Northwest Missouri State.
Right, and you certainly do, and it's going to be another fun spring coming up for you.
It is indeed, John.
And, Mark, I know you've not only been busy right now with tennis, but you're on the road this past weekend. Saw you down in last Thursday down in Edmond to watch the matchup with Central Oklahoma in basketball.
Yes, John, I'm really glad I went there. Those were two fabulous games. I really enjoyed watching that. That was a really, really great entertainment, and you know, I love watching those basketball, football, whatever. You know, I like it. So, it's what I do, I guess.
All right. We'll be looking forward to watching your tennis teams coming up here in the next few weeks.
Okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Mark Rosewell, the head tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State for both the men and women. Don't forget, we've got more coming up this weekend with basketball action. The Northwest men's and women's teams are home. They'll be home Thursday night to face Lincoln University. The women will tip off at 5:30. 5:30, and the men right around 7:30. We'll have the play-by-play of that one for you beginning at 5 o'clock with our pregame for the women. And then they're home on Saturday afternoon. Central Missouri comes to town to take on Northwest with 1:30 and 3:30 tip-offs there. Reminder that you're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back with you again next Tuesday from Pizza Ranch.